All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And we have been talking in the book of Proverbs, preaching through some of the topics and some of the object lessons in the book of Proverbs. And tonight, I want to deal with fire. The word fire is mentioned 4 times in the book of Proverbs. The English word fire is mentioned 4 times in the book of Proverbs. It's interesting. Now, I've already done the study, and I've already categorized all of it, and I'm going to let you know that 3 of those verses were warnings, warning us about the dangers of certain kinds of fire. 2 of them, of those warnings, involved our mouths or our tongues or our lips. Interesting. We can say some pretty dumb things, can't we? And then the third one was a blessing if we would treat our enemies properly. So I want to draw these out to you and show these to you. What Solomon has to say about fire is important to us tonight. They are warnings and blessings in this message about fire. He uses fire because he knows our weaknesses. He knows Satan's strategy. Remember, he is a lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He knows our temptations. He knows that we can get out of control with our tongues. He knows that we can fall morally. We have the tendency. No one is above any of that. He knows our carnality. And so he is using the word fire in the book of Proverbs to teach us about life lessons in these areas. And God warns us about playing with fire, literally, in the passages that we will examine, at least 3 of them, of the 4. And the reason he does is because he loves us and is deeply concerned that we do not get burned. He does not want us to take fire on. He knows it will hurt us. And he knows that the devil is behind it. Now, you know that I'm not speaking necessarily about literal fire, although if you stick your hand in it, you're in trouble. But we're talking about the satanic ploys that he's going to warn us about, because if we do not educate ourselves to what the Bible is teaching us here, we could get caught up into some pretty fiery, specific sins. And they will hurt our testimony. They will hurt our walk with Christ. They will hurt our family. They will hurt our church. It'll hurt your testimony at work. So these are things that God is warning us about. If we choose to take these warnings seriously, we'll benefit greatly from them. If you choose to throw them to the wind, you will probably eventually be crying from third-degree burns, spiritually speaking, eventually. Because we just can't play with fire and it win. Fire's powerful. A few years ago, Pastor Dan and I, as chaplains of Hendricks County, received a call to go to a home on the west side of our county. The home got caught fire in the middle of the night. A 62-year-old nurse, still working, lived in the home with her brother. It's a 2-story home. We found out later that the fire started downstairs. A lamp in the living room shorted out. The house caught on fire. By the time that they realized, it was a very old farmhouse, by the time that they realized that the house was engulfed in flames, by that time they were awakened and they were trying to make it out, but they were overcome with smoke. And so they got down on the floor and tried to breathe as long as they could and find their way out of their separate bedrooms and down the stairs, but they did not make it. When we arrived on the scene, we were called there because a family member was having a very hard time, that her mother now was gone, and so was her uncle, in the house fire. And so we met in the emergency camper set up that they, a temporary office that they set up on a scene site like that. We met, and Pastor Dan and I had an opportunity to minister not only to this lady, but some of the officers. It's a very hard thing. A fireman was there. It's very difficult. And so she she told us, she says, I'd like to see my mom. I'd like to see my uncle. And I said, well, would you like for us to go with you? They had had them, they put the fire out and they had them in back of the house on stretchers. And so we said that we'd be happy to go with you. And we did. And I want to tell you something. Fire is no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of persons. It's difficult to see that kind of thing. And I believe that God uses fire and to help us to see how dangerous certain things are, that if we're not careful, we could be burned badly. And it be our fault. It will not be someone else's fault. You'll not be able to blame shift or cast the blame on someone else. It'll be our fault because of the choices that we make. So let's begin reading in verse 24. We're looking for the word fire. You can underscore that in your text and make some marginal notes if you like. I'm going to, for the sake of time, I am going to read, and along the way, I'm going to make some commentary, if you'll allow me, so that we can go a little bit faster. The first thing I want us to note in verse 24 is that we are to guard our morality when tempted. And when it talks about this, it's talking about either gender. Now, the female gender is mentioned here, but let me warn you, men, we have a part of this also. Notice what verse 24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, the word strange is the Hebrew word foreign, and it does refer to foreign women. That's the way the term was used. But it does not have to be someone that you do not know. It doesn't take away. A strange woman, you may know this woman. A strange man that has an ulterior motive. You may work with them. You may go to church with them. So it's not a matter that they're strangers, as we would use the word strange. They're foreign to morality. In other words, they've got wrong things on their minds. And notice the word lust is also mentioned. Lust not after, verse 25, after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Lust is always the first step to immorality. It happens in our, it happens here, and it gets into our heart. We excuse it from our mind, and the fire comes, and it's very hurtful. If you remember, Jesus warned us about lust on the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 28 of the book of Matthew. He warns us about looking upon a woman and even lusting upon her in our minds, that we commit spiritual adultery already in our heart. And so Jesus takes it to the strongest level, not just physical, but even lusting after someone. So the best advice that I can give all of us, if there's a person with the opposite gender and it stirs your sexual juices, you better be sure you guard your eyes and guard your heart and you do all you can to never go in that direction. Never let your desires go. Never let the chemistry start. Never let the eyes start flashing. Never allow that to happen. If you allow that to happen, that's going to produce lust. And when lust, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, James says it brings forth death. So the greatest thing you can do is not find yourself. If you fantasize, you better control your mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking straight up with you. We don't even have a teenager in here today. I'm talking straight up to you. You're an adult audience. And I'm talking to you as you're an adult. And I'm saying to you what I will say to you in my study or at your table when the fire comes in your home and all of a sudden you have to deal with this. We would turn to this passage. We would deal with all of this. The third thing I'd like for us to see is the word fire, and it's in verse 27. And it is impossible, and I want you to get this. Look this way just right now. I know you're reading ahead of me, and that's fine. But I want to make an impact here. Please know, it is impossible to engage in immorality and not suffer serious consequences because of it. You will suffer. It will hurt you. Now notice what the verse says. the next two verses, matter of fact. It gives us illustrations. Can a man take fire in his bosom? This is the text now. This is the context. We started back up in verse 24 because I want to give you the context of the paragraph. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer to that question is? What's the answer? No. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? The answer is no. It's not going to happen. In other words, here's the practicality of the application. Immorality, adultery, is a fire that you cannot take into your life and not suffer consequences because of it. Number four, when we compromise our morality, a line is drawn in our own conscience that hurts us and in the consciences of those that love us. Infidelity makes a scar in the heart of a wife or a husband. Teenage pregnancies, scarred, difficult, hard to deal with. But when we compromise our morality, God has made the human mind to draw a line when it comes to morality. And you don't have to be, I'm not talking about saved and unsaved people at this moment. This is why people in California get divorced, and you read about it in the tabloids, or you read about it in the newspaper or whatever. You ought not be buying the tabloids and because of infidelity. Hey, you know, Joe left me for Sally. I'm divorcing Joe because I met this person. And it's nothing more than older than my generation would call that just nothing more than a patent place. Some of you get that. You understand what I'm talking about when we say that. So notice when you cross that line, notice what it says. So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, that is a physical act. That is the sexual act. He goeth in his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. In other words, you'll no longer be clean. The word innocent is the Hebrew word for clean. You're no longer clean. You're dirty. You're no longer innocent. You have lost your innocence. And when someone loses their innocence, the idea behind this word is that eventually everybody finds out about it. And now your innocence, your cleanness is gone. Your clean testimony is gone. And this can be in your own spirit, and it can be in the public eye after a while. Now look at verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. A man's hungry, he's starving to death, he's going to die, he's going to lose his life. But he, now watch it carefully, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. In other words, there's retribution. Thief gets caught, he can restore. How many times? Hey, listen, this happened in the New Testament. Zacchaeus, he got caught, he repented, and what did he do? He made it up. Did he not make it up? Are you with me? Absolutely. He paid retribution. He did the right thing. But I want you to notice what verse 32 says. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. That means he cannot comprehend. He's destitute of comprehension. Just ain't thinking right. Notice what else it says. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. He brings corruption. He spoils his own life. And the word soul there is not talking about the adulterer going to hell, going to hell because of his adultery. His soul, it's talking about his life. He just messed up his life. That's what it's talking about. A man who steals for his family to eat can find retribution. But a person who compromises their morality they struggle in their own conscience about it. It has to, only the blood of Christ. That's why reading books and going to see psychiatrists sometimes doesn't do you any good. You don't need another new book. You need the blood. You need to ask for forgiveness. God, I'm your child and I fail into sin. David asked for forgiveness. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I have failed you. I have failed my family. My immorality caught up with me. David took fire in his bosom and he got burned. That's what happens when we do this. And it doesn't stop there. Notice verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. A wound. The word wound there is, of course, a medical term, but it refers to the spots of a leper. If you have leprosy, and even if you had the kind of leprosy that you got over, it still discolored the skin. A wound. You'll have a leprous spiritual spot on you. And dishonor shall ye get. And his reproach, his shame, his disgrace. That's what reproach is. It brings disgrace upon you and your family. Why is God so hard about this? Because even in an unsaved man's heart, there is a line that is drawn. And when that line is destroyed, it causes havoc. So adultery is nothing more than unbridled passion. Passion that is out of control. So much so that a man or woman can't think straight. The temptation overwhelms them. Let me tell you how strong it is. Let me read it to you. I don't want to tell you. Don't believe my word. Believe the Bible. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 34. It's amazing. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. When a man is out of control, he'll not spare. He'll do strange things. Love. It's so passionate in us that we can't control it. We can't control our feelings. We can't control what we say. Look at verse 35. He will not regard any ransom. It doesn't matter. Someone tries to give you a gift, make it go away. Notice what the rest of the verse says. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now, I want to say something so you won't be in despair. I would imagine that I'm speaking to an audience that in your history, you have fallen in the area of your sexual desires. Most marriages in this room probably did not start out right. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm saying that to tell you that we all have failure in our life. And we have to deal with that. We have to deal with it, and we have to deal with it properly. You can't just wash that away with your nice new book or a shock treatment from the doctor. It's not going to happen. Our conscience is a function of our spirit. God has to deal with it in our spirit. When we get blood washed, our spirit is revived. And it changes us. It helps us. Now, I want you to understand what I am saying. You say, Pastor, sometimes when you preach on things, you preach as if everybody's guilty. That's what preachers do. That's what we're supposed to do. Not accusing anybody. Don't have anybody in mind preaching like this. But I do want to say something. I am not talking about this matter of reproach. I'm not talking about forgiveness. We all get forgiveness of our sexual sins. Anything that we did wrong, when we were growing up, when we were teenagers, things that happen at family reunions, all kinds of things happen. Expiration takes place. This is why I beg daddies to be very much in tune with your kids. And you know I beg you to do that from this pulpit. Because we care. So I'm not talking about forgiveness, and I'm not talking about a restoration to fellowship, and I'm not talking about a restoration to membership, and I'm not talking about a measure of leadership can be given to someone who's come through that. We have leaders in our church. Now, we know that there are New Testament principles when it comes to the office of pastor and deacon about wives and whatnot. We understand that. I'm not going to go there, except we hold to the 1 Timothy 3 passage and Titus passage about the office of pastor. We're very conservative. We hold to it very strongly. We don't compromise that whatsoever. I like what Clark said about it best. Now, Clark was an Armenian. He's dead now. He knows better. But I'd like to read what he had to say, speaking about the adulterer. His is an injury that admits of no compensation. No gifts can satisfy a man for the injury his honor has sustained. And to take a bribe for a ransom would be setting up chastity at a price. That's what verse 35 is talking about. Now, I want to close with an illustration. And this illustration comes out of one of our former ministries. Shortly after I became pastor of this church, immediately I had work to do. There was a couple who had just gone through the throes of divorce. It was a nasty divorce. It was a horrifying divorce. When I candidated at that church, both of them were there, and she had been remarried to her boss that she worked with. And so her and her unsaved husband was there, and her saved husband were there, and they had had two boys. And that husband, when he lost his wife, it literally drove him. His passion was so out of control. And I'd only been there a few months, and the holiday came up, and I was witnessing to this lady's unsaved husband. I was in their home. Had my Bible open. He was not saved. Praise the Lord, he did get saved later. He didn't get saved that night, but he did get saved. But the call came. And her husband had gone home and sent his two boys with his mother, went in the garage and committed suicide. And that became the first funeral that I would preach in that ministry. It's very difficult. Very hard. Bitterness, anger. I mean, cut the atmosphere at that funeral with a knife. It was not good. It was very difficult. It was difficult afterwards. Later, having become friends with the funeral director, we were talking about it one day. I'd had another funeral, and it was still fresh on everyone's mind. And here's what the funeral director told me. He said, suicide was unintentional. He was trying to get to the door, and he tripped over a bicycle. And in tripping over the bicycle, he either fell asleep because of the gas in the garage, or perhaps knocked the breath out of him. But he was trying to get to the kitchen door. And the funeral director said, I'm almost 100% positive that was unintentional. He made the phone call. I was sitting there when he made the phone call. He had made many of them like it. What I am saying to you tonight, and I want you to listen very carefully, love out of control, lust out of control, passion that is not bridled, is a fire It is a fire. And there's no stronger passage in all of the Old Testament than this one. We're dealing with it tonight. And I want to urge you that what I said in the introduction, if you've got sparks going off because you like somebody at work, you better be careful. Those sparks turn into lust. You better be careful. You got things on your mind, you better change your mind. You say, well, if I change my mind, something else will just crop up. Keep changing your mind. The more you change it, the cleaner it gets. Do the right thing. Now, I want to say one more thing. Our culture has become so liberally progressive that living together and committing adultery is not a big thing in our culture. We hear it. Help me with this statement. Everybody is doing it. How did that happen? Let me suggest it to you, my little peewee brain, putting a thimble, and I sat down, and in my lifetime, how has this happened? I remember back in the 60s, I can't remember in the 50s too much, but in the 60s, I can remember soap operas. Women would get hooked on soap operas. They would be home, and they would know, you know, as your stomach turns and all that stuff. They'd know it all. And they would know, and they couldn't wait. They could not wait till the next day. What really happened? And it was more talked about stuff in the 60s. But then after soap operas comes the sitcoms. And the sitcoms taught our children how to accept not just immorality, infidelity, taught our children how to abort your baby if you have one, you don't want it. Taught them that homosexuality and lesbianism was a lifestyle. I want to tell you something. We weren't fighting the homosexuals trying to stand up for righteousness' sake. And when I say fight, I'm not talking about literally fight, but we were not standing against them just this past year when we were down at the State House. Oh, no. The voice against that has been heard in this country for several decades. But we laughed at ourselves. And while we were laughing at ourselves and why we were thinking that how cute this was, we were having little kids around us grow up saying, well, it must be okay. Now the turn of the century and things really heat up. State laws that we even fought just recently in our own state, Governor Pence capitulating. Pressures of liberals are their deep pockets. It gets to even good men. Our Supreme Court, I said in a message many months ago about same-gender marriage, is a harder enemy on our nation than ISIS will ever be. Because it legalized killing and murdering babies. ISIS hadn't killed as many people as our Supreme Court allowed. It wasn't too long ago that it's passing laws now about same-gender marriages. Whoever thought, I'd never thought 35 years of pastoring that I would ever have to preach a message on same-gender marriage is wrong. Gave an entire message to it from this pulpit. So soap operas and sitcoms and state laws and Supreme Court. And then just this week, our sinful president is handing down legislation, I have it here from the Department of Justice, the letter that every public school got, if you want to read it, throw up later, you can. Where he is forcing public schools to respond to this matter of gender-free bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms. We live in a sick nation. We live in a nation where people are on fire and they don't even realize it. And the syndicated press and affiliates, news affiliates, are all one and the same. Perhaps you watched the new uprising star in the media of lady newscasters, Megyn Kelly, having her own an attorney, having her own show on Fox. She did her first interviews. Did you even think about why they chose those four people? Did you ever think about why? Why would she interview Laverne Cox, a transgendered man, who is the star of the Netflix hit show coming up, Orange is the New Black? We live in a nation that is on fire with immorality. And as your pastor, I want to say, let's be a people that's clean. Let's be a people that gets forgiveness of our sins of the past, with great determination that we would want to do right with our life and not keep taking fire in our bosom. God help us. If this nation is going to see revival, it will come in remnants like churches like this. But if we live like the world and we become like them, and we think immorality is okay, let me tell you something. This book will never change what you learned tonight about immorality. And when we are dead and gone and in heaven after the rapture, this Bible will be there and this same passage will be there. And you and I, we have no option except to love God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. And if we've been captured by the devil and beat up by him, then run to Jesus. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Run to him. There's no sin that he will not forgive. Not one. And then you can get free from that. Being free from that, you can have a stronger life. You can teach your children and your grandchildren what it means. Now I want to say one more thing. Please, I want you to listen to me. Every parent who has children still at home, if you have not taken this passage of Scripture and sat down with your teenage boy and sat down with your teenage girl and gone through this passage of Scripture, you better do it, and you better do it quick. Because they're not waiting till they get in high school to have a boyfriend and girlfriend. They're doing it in fourth and fifth grade, if not sooner. And they want to have a girlfriend. And it's not a matter of, well, you know, I've got a good boy. He don't drink. He don't smoke. He don't do drugs. He's not put in jail. They've not toted him off yet. We're not looking for good. We're looking for godly. I'm not interested in your kids being good. And neither is our pastoral staff. And neither are the teachers in our school. We're looking at your kids to be godly kids. And we know you want the same thing for them. Nothing more burdens my heart than to see someone throw their life away. And I guess because I came so close to throwing my own away, That's why I'm so adamant about it. And that's why I preach so hard about it. Because I love you. And I care how you turn out. I care how your kids turn out. And you better believe it, we'll have a straight up talk when it comes to sin. And it does not matter what your last name is in this church. Make that very clear. We have an opportunity to do right with our lives. God, deliver us from this fire. Would you stand with me, please?